This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Charlie Batch is on the call with Pomp. Charlie Batch is on the Fan Morning Show at 9:30 today. So hour and a half from right now, we talk to the greatest man in Homestead Munhall history, seemingly. He or George Campbell, is that the guy's name that the field is named after that worked in Silicon Valley for a long time? It's Charlie Batch or him, one would think.
I'll give it to Charlie.
Yeah, Bob, my friend Bob Ando coming in third or fourth.
Charlie beat the Ravens that one time.
He did beat the Ravens that one. There you go, the hug. How about that hug? Oh, man, was that a moment? Was that a viral moment on social media? Charlie was crying. Man, was that one of the greatest feel-good moments in Steelers history of our vintage? Because of how much it meant to Charlie. Yeah. And didn't we all feel like we were Charlie Batch in that moment? Like, it was like he was just an extension of us. It was like they found some guy that was a Western PA guy to go play quarterback that game. And man, we feel it.
It was like, hey, one of us got a chance to go out there and quarterback the Steelers for the And look, he beat the Ravens. You're right. It was fantastic.
Oh, man. That hug. Was that guy's name George Campbell? Now that I'm thinking about this, yeah. No, Bill Campbell. Bill Campbell's his name, not George Campbell. I knew I said it wrong. Yes, it's Bill Campbell. The field's named after him. He was like a gigantic guy in the tech world.
Really?
He was a coach at one of the, maybe Columbia or Dartmouth. He was a football coach. You don't know about this guy? This guy's like one of the low-key great Western Pennsylvanians.
Okay.
Bill Campbell is his name. And he was like the icon and the guy that taught Bezos and Bill Gates and all those guys how to do business.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
Columbia.
Was it Columbia? Yeah. Bill Campbell. And he was like their mentor. He was the original Apple guys. And he's just a dude from Munhall. Wild ass story. Yes.
That's crazy.
Passed away in 2016.
Yes, he did. He did. But yeah, crazy. You got to read up on this guy. I read up on him one time. Because I'm like, what's all this stuff named after him?
Wow.
And he's just a brilliant guy.
Him, Charlie Batch.
And Bob Ando.
Luke Getsy, Gabby Barrett.
Gabby Barrett.
Gabby Barrett.
Gabby Barrett. Oh, there you go. A lot of people from Munhall. Richard Bazzi.
Is he from Munhall?
Munhall guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're coming out of the
woodwork now.
There's going to be two Mount Rushmores over there. Duncan, the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. All right, Mike Tomlin had something to say about skill v. talent.
He's got talent, but there's a difference between talent and skills. And that's what we're trying to educate him and others regarding. God gives them the talent. We develop the skill in settings like this. Relative to the positions that they play.
He's speaking of George Campbell. George Pickens. What am I talking about? That's why George was on my tongue. He's speaking of George Pickens, the receiver, who has wowed people at camp, rookie from Georgia, yada, yada, yada. We get it. Let's say that he develops, and it's skill v. talent and all that jumbled into one, and then it comes out, and yes, he's great, and he's wonderful. We have confidence that's going to happen as Steeler fans because receivers come here, no matter if they're taken in the first round, they take it in the sixth round, whether it's Antonio Holmes, whether it's Antonio Brown, they develop and they help this football team. That's been the way of the world with the Pittsburgh Steelers since Mike Tomlin has been coach. That's even before that, since Bill Cowher has been coach. That's all great, but why is there this uncanny knack to develop receivers? It's time to develop linemen. It's time to develop linebackers. They got it for the first time. Make skill v. talent happen with a quarterback. Do we have confidence that's going to happen at other positions? Because for me, that's a true question right now.
I do. It's happened in the past. I mean, offensive lineman David DeCastro, Marquise Pouncey. I mean, there's so many guys from the past that have developed and became really good players. I mean, you look at linebackers, Lawrence Timmons. You know, he's a guy that, you know, was drafted, in the first round, but was a smaller guy and ended up having a fantastic career. They have, well, at least Mike Tomlin has developed linebackers in other positions. I really am on board with this because of what he has, especially on defense, for what he has surrounded himself with coaching-wise on defense, with Flores, with Austin. Those guys right there, they have made a career out of developing players.
So that's the key. All the guys you mentioned there are first-rounders.
Right.
And I think my question is, can they develop guys who aren't first-rounders? You know, the examples
no
we think
of... No team hinges on non-first-rounders more than this one. Because
and no position group more than the offensive line.
Agreed.
Littered with third- and fourth-rounders. Can they develop those guys? Now, in the past, Ramon Foster, Al Villanueva... Those guys were developed, right, by Munchak. Are they going to develop Dan Moore Jr.,
Kevin Dotson, fourth rounder,
Chukwuma Okorafor, third rounder?
Right.
Are they going to develop Kendrick Green, third rounder? Those guys. That's the question.
Because unless that happens, because, okay, we could talk about the receivers making spectacular plays. We could talk about the defensive backs doing good things in practice. We could talk about the linebackers even coming up and, you know, Miles Jack's going to make plays. It all falls apart unless the linemen are developed.
Oh, big time. And I have zero faith right now that they're going to get developed because I've never seen Pat Meyer get the job done. And when he was hired, there was a big groundswell of criticism because he hadn't done a great job in his previous place, according to a lot of people who were covering the team. So I'm worried about that. They've got great skill position talent. They know how to develop skill position talent. I think Mitch Trubisky's an okay quarterback and could have a good season with the skill position talent. But is Dan Moore Jr. going to take a step forward this year? I have no idea.
Offensive line development is so unique because, you know, it's not one of those positions where if you have one guy, you'll be fine there. Like, they have to develop together. Like, and if you have a coach, if you have an assistant coach that can, an offensive coordinator that has the right schemes and has the right plays to call and, you know, different teaming drills that you do with offensive line, if you have that intact and you develop it as a unit, that's whenever you become good because other positions you can develop individually and have team success.
Because I'll just say it. Okay, do you third round, is that a mid-round pick or do you get into fourth round?
Because third, fourth.
Okay, because Cam Sutton and Deontay Johnson, I'll give you, those are third-round picks, I guess, that have been developed. Other than that, I mean, you go to Antonio Brown, of course. But other than that, who are the mid-round picks right now who are helping out? Antonio Brown's back in the day, I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
But right now, the current mid-round picks, like the Steelers are making their way. Cam Hayward, first-round pick. T.J. Watt, first-round pick. Devin Bush, first-round pick, and he's not good. Terrell Edmonds is a first-round pick. Minkah Fitzpatrick, first-round pick. You know, who are the guys that are helping? Najee Harris.
What's Anthony McFarland Jr. turned into?
Right.
Yeah.
What is Benny Snell turned into? He's a mid-round pick. Mason Rudolph, mid-round pick. Kendrick Green, third-round pick. Still up in the air on him. You know, there's Marcus Allen, mid-round pick hanging
around. You
mentioned
Justin Lane.
Yeah. I mean, all he's famous for is being in the back of that police car.
And there have been some hits, like Javon Hargrave was a hell of a pick. He's getting paid in Philadelphia, but they also have Kyle Dunbar, who is respected league-wide and really in the collegiate game. And then, of course, they got John Mitchell, who's respected. So there's certain positions they've done a much better job of than others. Cornerback, inside linebacker, lately they have not been able to find a stopgap.
Like, I'm not knocking them. I don't want to knock them, but, you know, it's much like people say, well, how good do you got to be? You know, Garrett Cole and Jameson Taillon were can't miss. Well, yeah. Well, so were T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward. You know, anybody could have drafted those guys.
And to bring it back around to the assistant coach angle of things, like you bring in Brian Flores. Okay, I understand he's not solely focused on the linebackers. He's sort of an upper defensive consultant in a way to Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin. But I would count on it. I would count on there being some development by the inside linebackers under Brian Flores. The question comes back around to if the offensive line is the, and again, I think it's the weakest position group on the team.
Well, you talk about those inside back, like where's Buddy Johnson and Marcus Allen?
Right.
Those are prime sweet spot guys I'm talking about.
So they got lucky in that Brian Flores was available, but they immediately jump on him and bring him in, right? And granted, his pedigree is way far and above that of just a linebackers coach. What did they do to alter the trajectory of the offensive line this offseason. They re-signed Chooks. They bring in Mason Cole. I like James Daniels to an extent. And they don't bring in necessarily the front-of-the-line offensive line coach. Like, who did we talk about last year when things were going down? Somebody brought up Marone, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, Alabama has traditionally, outside of the Munchak years, had a better offensive line coach than the Steelers.
Much higher paid, too.
Yes.
Which is a lot of the reason I think they had a better one.
And I think it's, when you're looking at linebackers, they've tried to plug that hole by going out and getting guys who have done it before. I think they're trying to do that on the offensive line. They've done it in the secondary. Levi Wallace, Joe Hayden, getting guys who have done it before. You trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick because I think that they're at least understanding, here's some of our weak spots. Well, they didn't do enough, I don't think, with the offensive line to make that a priority this offseason. Mike Munchak's still out there, and I know he wants to be with his family. You can't find a way to pay him to be a consultant. You can't bring him in to be zoomed in for team meetings. I mean, you could pay that guy to do that. Akershire is paying you $10 million a season. Now fold that into the coaching payroll.
It's just, again, I appreciate that comment from Mike Tomlin. A ton. I appreciate that comment, the skill versus talent. But some of this talent now, or skill, needs to be cultivated and manifested and turned into talent at some other positions that's not wide receiver if this team's really going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be. And non-first round picks.
Yeah, and I do think that, I mean, if you want to kind of cross over with Cowher's regime with Tomlin's, I mean, there's a lot of guys on that defense back in 2003, 2004 that were undrafted, that were mid-round picks, and they made that work. That's just the only foundation I'm sitting on, is that there could be the development of some guys that we haven't really seen do it yet come forth as the season goes on.
All right, answer this, because I think this is the heart of the question. What offensive lineman has gotten better since Munchak hasn't been employed by the Steelers?
Ooh.
I think it's a zero. I mean, yeah. Dan Moore Jr. got better from the beginning of the year to the end of the year.
That was trial by fire, though.
Has Chooks gotten better?
No, and they even admitted when they signed him that they're paying him not for what he's done, but what they think he can do. But he hasn't achieved that yet.
Mm-mm.
Brought Joe Hagan, and you thought, okay, this guy – and then he disappeared. Like, you thought Joe Hagan was going to help them out. Hassenauer's turned into just a guy. LeGlue helped you out in a pinch here and there.
And then it's just a bunch of
Gerald
dudes.
Hawkins, they were talking about how good that guy could be his first year, and he got hurt. That's fine. But at LSU, they really loved what he could do, and everyone was raving about him. They didn't make anything out of him.
Dotson, you're right, came out on fire, and then has he regressed from his first five games?
A guy that was given an opportunity to be the starter to now losing out to Kendrick Green.
Which would be the only guy I would say that's probably gotten better, Kendrick Green. I really think that he's gotten better just by moving from center to guard. And I think that Saturday – he'll prove that he'll probably be the starter this year.
You know, I think that's a good point, but I don't know how much worse he could have got. Because he was not a good center.
They do.
And he was miscast, though. He was in the wrong position.
But he could have just caved in. I mean, he could have just, packed it up and just been like, all right, whatever.
Well, I don't think
like
he was good.
I think the move gave him a new lease on life, and I think he's trying to take advantage of that, and credit to him for doing that. I think they need to ask themselves what the alignment of this interior O-line is going to look like, because we're already more than halfway through training camp. Your first preseason game is on the horizon. People are saying, Mason Cole, I don't know. Hub Arkish was on with the afternoon show yesterday saying James Daniels' best position might actually be center.
Right,
I mean, you've got to be quick with these offensive line moves in getting the best five-man alignment out there, finding it as quickly as possible so they can develop that chemistry like you talked about, Dorn, that they actually know what they're doing when week one hits.
That's the thing, too, with me, Dorn. People yelled and screamed for the past 10 days about figure out a quarterback. Deontay Johnson needs to get his ass in camp to work with a quarterback for continuity and for working with those guys. Why don't they yell the same thing about putting five offensive linemen together and having them work together?
Yeah, I think that's more of a work in progress. So I think that people have a little bit more cushion to be like, all right, we'll give them some time. But that's why I have faith in the offensive line a little bit more than last year, is that once they do figure out how to work together, you can make it a product. You can. You don't need to just one guy to do it. If you just figure out how to put all five together and do it, I think that you can get something out of it.
If Mike Munchak were here right now, I think the Steelers are a playoff team. And without him, I'm not buying the offensive line until I see it.
There's no question I think they're better. There's no question they're better. At least that's the way I look at it. Andrew Petcash, he joins.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.